Cassette 1, Side 1, A Glossary of Sanskrit Terms by Jeffrey A. Barborka.
Significance of Sanskrit. Sanskrit is regarded by Orientalists as the elder sister of Greek because the latter language is declared to be closely associated with the former. Sanskrit is also considered to be the keystone for the study of comparative philology. Orientalists are uncertain as to how the Sanskrit language came into being. Some scholars designate a locality in which the early Aryans who supposedly spoke Sanskrit had their culture, placing it somewhere in the region of Bactria and Sogdiana. However, Hindu pundits assign the origin of the Aryan race to the highlands of Asia near Lake Manasarovara in Tibet. Orientalists credit the first written form of Sanskrit to Panini, who produced a Sanskrit grammar containing 3,996 rules, assigning a date to its writing as 500 before Christ. But there is an important point which has been overlooked in regard to this assignment. The very word Sanskrit means polished, signifying that the language and the writing had been perfected prior to this era. It is admitted by scholars that the Vedas were passed down orally before having been written, and a date is assigned to these sacred scriptures of about 1500 before Christ. On the other hand, Hindu scholars attribute a far greater age to the Vedas and hold that Sanskrit was perfected before the Aryans settled in what is now known as India. H.P. Blavatsky discusses the origin and evolution of languages and traces the origin of Sanskrit to a time and to a continent no longer in existence, the continent commonly referred to as Atlantis. Languages, she writes, have their cyclic evolution, their childhood, purity, growth, fall into matter, admixture with other languages, maturity, decay, and finally death, so that the primitive speech of the most civilized Atlantean races, that language which is referred to as Rakshasi Bhasha in old Sanskrit works, decayed and almost died out. While the cream of the fourth race gravitated more and more toward the apex of physical and intellectual evolution, thus leaving as an heirloom to the nascent fifth, the Aryan race, the inflectional, highly developed languages, the agglutinative, decayed and remained as a fragmentary fossil, idiom, scattered now and nearly limited to the aboriginal tribes of America. From the Secret Doctrine, Volume 2, page 199. An agglutinative language is one that joins two or more significant words or roots, thus forming a new word, although each joined segment retains its own meaning. An inflectional language uses termination or combination changes in which all separate identities of the segments are no longer predominant. Sanskrit was used by the initiates of the Aryan race in what is called the Vach, or mystic speech. The term signifies that pulsating or vibrant tones are indeed present in the syllables and words that are brought together for that purpose. That is, if one knows how to produce them when arranged in a mantra, especially if one is familiar with the relations of sounds, numbers, and colors. A passage on this very theme was written by H.P. Blavatsky. The chanting of a mantra is not a prayer, but rather a magical sentence in which the law of occult causation connects itself with and depends on the will and acts of its singer. It is a succession of Sanskrit sounds, and when its string of words and sentences is pronounced, according to the magical formulae in the Atharva Veda, but understood by the few, some mantras produce an instantaneous and very wonderful effect. In its esoteric sense, it contains the Vach, the mystic speech, which resides in the mantra, or rather in its sounds, since it is according to the vibrations, one way or the other, of ether, that the effect is produced. The sweet singers were called by that name because they were experts in mantras. From the Secret Doctrine, Volume 5, page 394. In the following text, the pronunciation of the letters of the Sanskrit alphabet as designated by Sanskritists is explained as each letter of the glossary is introduced. The order of the letters of the English alphabet is followed rather than that of the Sanskrit alphabet, which is entirely different. It should be borne in mind that the Sanskrit vowels and consonants are always pronounced in the same way, and further, that there are no mute or silent letters. This also applies to the consonants when they are combined. Those who are following the printed book should now turn to page 9 to the second paragraph, which begins in this manner. There is an important reason for pronouncing a Sanskrit word with its proper svara or sound value. When that is known, there ensues a greater appreciation of the ancient terms, which are used so effectively to convey the teachings of theosophy, and the student will then more consciously be inclined to make an effort to learn them and to seek to pronounce them correctly. The Sanskrit language, and especially the terms which explain the teachings of the ancient wisdom, represent the culmination of the wisdom of the preceding race, the fourth race, handed on to the loftiest initiates of the present race, the fifth race. Thus, very often, the Sanskrit term contains a key thought enabling one to have a better grasp of the teaching which that word expresses. Therefore, in epitomizing a teaching in a key word, those great sages had in mind three factors. First, the root meaning of the term, embodying the idea with potent significance. Second, the svara, the mystic sound value of the word. Third, the mantrika shakti, the force or power of letters, speech, or sound. Having the knowledge of these three factors enables one to produce what may be termed magical results. While it is true that the mantrika shakti has been lost, and very likely the svara also, nevertheless, as close an approximation as possible to the right sound should be made in connection with Sanskrit terms to gain the first two factors mentioned. Let us first give a little attention to the Sanskrit alphabet, for this will also assist one in learning the correct pronunciation. The Sanskrit alphabet differs from the English in that all the vowels are listed prior to the consonants. The first three vowels have both a short form and a long form. These are followed by semi-diphthongs and true diphthongs. Here are the pronunciation of the vowels using English words to illustrate the sound values. Short A as in sofa. The long A is indicated by means of a Macron accent, or the French circumflex accent, and pronounced as the A in far. Short I as in tin. Long I as in teeny. Short U as in pull. Long U as in pool. The E is a semi-diphthong and pronounced as in the word day, hence deva. AI is a diphthong as in the word isle, hence divi prakriti. The O is a semi-diphthong pronounced as the word no, hence soma. AU is a diphthong as in house, hence, aum. The consonants follow the vowels and are arranged systematically in Sanskrit, according to their manner of formation. They commence with the consonants which are pronounced farthest back in the mouth, known as the gutturals, as in come and go, with aspirates for each. Next, the palatals, as in chair and jeer, with aspirates. These are followed by the cerebrals and dentals. The examples of these may be noted by recognizing the difference between the English words tooth and thin, din and need. Next are the labials, which are pronounced with the lips, as in pin, bean, mean. Next are four semivowels, ya, ra, da, va, as in yellow, red, lavender, and violet. The sibilants and aspirate complete the list, as in assure, shore, some. The true aspirated H is pronounced as the Scotch word loch. Let us now repeat the most used Sanskrit terms in theosophy, using the English alphabetical order, therefore commencing with A. The first word has three short A's, abhaya, meaning non-fearing. The next word has two long A's and a final short A, acharya, teacher. The next word has an aspirated D, followed by a Y. Hence, most people have difficulty in pronouncing. Thus, adhyatman, the supreme self. Adhyaya, a chapter of a book. Adibuddha, the supreme Buddha. Adibuddhi, divine wisdom. Notice the aspirated B in the following word. Adibhuta, original element principle, which is also the significance of Adi Tattva. Aditi, space. Aditya, the sun. Advaita, non-duality. Agni, fire. Agnishvata, solar petri. Notice the aspirated H in the three following mantras. Aham, Asmi, Parabrahma. I am the boundless. Aham, Brahmasmi. I am Brahman. Aham, Eva, Parabrahma. I am verily the boundless. Ahankara, egoity. Ahimsa, non-injury. Akasha, primordial spatial substance. Akasha Tattva, the element principle which is named ether. Akshara, the imperishable. Alaya, indissoluble, that is equivalent to Akasha. Amitabha, the name of a Dhyani Buddha, meaning the Buddha of boundless light. Amrita, non-dying, hence immortal. Anagamin, non-coming, hence one who will not be reincarnated again. Anahata Shabda, a non-beating sound. Ananda, bliss. Ananda Maya Kosha, the sheath, kosha, built of bliss, hence the sheath of Buddhi. Anda, an egg, used in connection with Brahmanda, the egg of Brahma, that is the solar system. Angaraka, the name of the planet Mars. Anamaya Kosha. Here is another of the Vedantic sheaths or koshas into which man is divisible. The literal meaning of Anamaya Kosha is the sheath built of food, hence the physical body. Antahkarana, which is more frequently written as antaskarana, literally between, antar, the acting, karana, which is derived from the verbal root kri, to do, to act, hence the intermediate instrument. Antahkarana is usually regarded by H.P. Blavatsky as the bridge between the lower manas and higher manas, that path which lies between thy spirit and thyself, as the voice of the silence expresses it. Anu, literally infinitesimal, although the word is usually rendered as atom. However, in the next word, the first syllable, an, signifies the negative particle. An upapadaka, literally not proceeding in regular succession. However, the term is generally rendered parentless. In connection with the tattvas, it signifies the spiritual element principle, the second in the series of the seven tattvas. The first is named Adi Tattva, or the divine element principle. The next term is also one of a series of seven, namely apana, literally that which is breathed away, for ap means away, and to breathe. It is one of the seven vital pranas, translated vital airs. Apana is the prana which carries away the waste products of the human body. Apastattva is another of the seven element principles, signifying the element principle of water, the sixth in the emanational unfoldment of the principles. Aranyaka, literally forest writing, used especially in connection with the Upanishad, so named, namely the Aranyaka Upanishad. Adhamatra, literally the half meter. The term is used in connection with the sacred word Aum, and signifies the shifting tone occurring between the two syllables when pronouncing the sacred word, in order to indicate the three tones, A, U, M. Arhan, an alternative form for Arhat. This word literally means the worthy one, one who has attained the highest degree of spirituality. Arhat in Buddhism is applied to a direct disciple of the Buddha. Arjuna, the hero of the Bhagavad Gita, a disciple of Krishna. Arupa, literally without form, that is a form from the standpoint of the physical plane. Arya, literally the worthy, the holy one. It is the basis of the word Aryan, literally the worthy race. Again, it is present in Aryavarta, which is the ancient name given to northern and central India. Aryasangha is the name of a direct disciple of Gautama the Buddha. Asana, a word derived from as, to sit, hence a posture. It is one of the eight stages of yoga. Asat, literally the non-real, when used as the opposite of sat, reality. Ashta, the number eight. Ashrama, a sacred abode or hermitage. The word is derived from ashram, to counsel, or again to commune with one's self. Astika, a believer, usually rendered one who believes in gods. Asura, a word with a dual meaning. In the Vedas, a divine spirit. In later exoteric literature, a demon. Asura Maya, regarded as an Atlantean astronomer, the author of the Surya Siddhanta, an ancient astronomical work. Ashvatha, the mystic tree of life which is described in the Bhagavad Gita. Atala, the highest of the seven talas. A tala signifies the material pole or aspect of a lokatala, of which the loka represents the spirit pole or aspect. Atharva Veda, one of the four ancient Vedas or sacred scriptures of India. It is specifically the Veda of incantations and formulas for purifications. Atmajnanin, a divine self-knower, literally, hence one who knows Atman. Atma Vidya, divine knowledge. Atman, the self, the divine aspect in the sevenfold constitution of man, his highest principle. Atavada, this is a Pali compound word used in Buddhism, signifying the false belief in the existence in man of a permanent soul, which makes him separate from the other manifestations of the one life. Ata is Pali for the Sanskrit Atman. Vada means expression, speech. Atyantika, literally excessive, endless. The term is used in connection with an individual who has attained nirvana prior to the conclusion of a planetary manvantara or a seven-round cycle. Also used in connection with pralayas, periods of dissolution. Aum, the sacred three-syllabled word of mantric significance. It is at once an invocation a benediction, an affirmation, and a promise. Avalokiteshvara, a compound of Ava, down, Lokita, seen, Ishvara, Lord, hence the periodically manifesting divinity, applied to the summit of a hierarchy. Avastha, a state or condition used in connection with man's four states of consciousness. The four avasthas are thus enumerated. Jagrat, the consciousness during the waking state. Svapna, the dreaming state. Sushupti, the state during deep sleep. Samadhi, the beatific state of divine consciousness. Avatara, a divine incarnation. Avici, literally the waveless state, a state of continuous agony. Avidya, literally non-knowledge, although usually rendered ignorance, the first of the 12 nidanas of Buddhism, that is to say, the bonds or fetters forming causes for existence. With this conclusion of the terms commencing with the letter A, let us repeat the three mantras. Aham, Asmi, Parabrahma. Aham, Brahmasmi. Aham, Eva, Parabrahma. In taking up terms commencing with the letter B, the first one is Barhishad, which is the specific name of the lunar Pitris, or the lords of the moon, those who graduated from the human kingdom on the lunar chain. Baudha, meaning wise, is the adjective formed from the noun bodha, knowledge. Next in the series of words are aspirated bees. These words seem to cause great difficulty to English-speaking persons. Yet we have the English words abhenry, abhor, abhorrent, abhorrence, and even rabhard. The Sanskrit words should be pronounced in the same way. The first example is Bhagavat, meaning illustrious, divine. The final T becomes D when placed before the hard G, as in Gita. Thus, Bhagavad Gita means the divine song. Bhakti, devotion. Hence, Bhakti Yoga means the practice of devotional yoga. Bhava, becoming. The word is formed from the verb bhu, to become. It signifies another of the 12 nidanas of Buddhism. Bhikshu, a mendicant. In Buddhism, one who has renounced the world. The feminine form of the word is bhikshuni. Bhima is the name of Arjuna's brother, the mighty one. Bhumi is the name of the earth, globe D of the earth chain. The adjective which is formed from the noun is bhaumika, and is often used in connection with the manvantara, or seven-round period of the earth. Bhaumika pralaya signifies the dissolution of the earth. Bhurloka is the name of one of the seven lokas. It is the plane or sphere in which globe D is located. Bhuvarloka is the loka which is immediately superior to that of Bhurloka, hence is often associated with the plane on which globe C is situated. Bhuta is the correct form of the word, usually rendered bhut, plural, bhuts, signifying the eidolons or shades of deceased persons which inhabit the kamaloka or the desire world. So much for the examples of aspirated bees. Bija is a mystical term signifying seed or life germ. Bodhi is derived from the verbal root budh, to awaken, to enlighten, hence illumination, spiritual wisdom. The word is frequently used in connection with the tree under which Gautama the Buddha attained illumination, the Bodhi tree, also shortened to the Bodh tree. Bodhi Dharma, literally wisdom religion, also the name of a Buddhist patriarch. Bodhisattva, literally one whose essence is wisdom. In southern Buddhism, an aspirant for Buddhahood. In northern Buddhism, one who renounces nirvana in order to help humanity. Brahman needs special clarification in that it should be distinguished from Brahma. Notice the aspirate preceding the M, not Brahm, but Brahman. In philosophy, Brahman signifies the summit of a hierarchy as well as the divinity pervading the universe. And this is the concept presented in the mantra, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. In exoteric scriptures, the creative aspect of deity is represented as a male god, a creator, termed Brahma. Also present in the three aspects of the deity personified in the three forms or Trimurti, Brahma, the creator, Vishnu, the preserver, Shiva, the destroyer. Brahma also signifies the hierarchy of a solar system, and the period of the solar system's existence is established as being equivalent to the life of Brahma, a period of 100 divine years. Brahma's day signifies the period of the existence of a planetary system, or a seven-round cycle. Brahma's night, a period of equivalent length, signifies the planetary dissolution. A Brahmana signifies a follower of Brahman, or a member of the priestly caste. The same word, Brahmana, also means the doctrine concerning divine knowledge, thus signifying the works written in connection with the Vedas. Here follow some compounds formed by using Brahma in the first portion of the term. Brahmanda, an egg of Brahma, used as an expression applicable to the solar system. Brahmapura, Brahma's abode, Pura, used symbolically as situated within the heart of man. Brahmashrama, a temple of Brahma, hence a holy temple. Brahma Vidya, divine knowledge. This is therefore an equivalent of the word theosophy. Brahma Yoga, divine yoga. That yoga which includes the best and loftiest practices of all the schools of yoga. Brihaspati is the name of the planet Jupiter. There is yet the very familiar term Buddha. Nevertheless, care must be taken to distinguish between Buddha, which is spelled with only one D, and the word with two Ds. The one D word signifies a wise man, a sage, as well as it is the name of the planet Mercury. Buddha, with two Ds, the awakened or the illuminated one, thus designating the status of Gautama. Then there is the term Buddhi, the sixth principle of man's sevenfold constitution, signifying the discrimination principle, the intuition. It is also derived from the same root as the preceding words, from Budh, to awaken, to perceive. The words commencing with B may be concluded with a mantra, Brahmai Vedam Sarvam. Verily, this is Brahman. Brahmai Vedam is compounded of Brahma, Eva, and Idam. Eva means verily, in truth. In exposition, Idam means this, the word used for the manifested world, or for that matter, the manifested universe. Therefore, the mantra declares that the manifested universe is pervaded by the universal divinity, or universal spirit, Brahman.
Continued on side 2.